Good morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, welcome to worship this morning. And I think it is good for us as we begin this new 2020 year when there's so much about the world that seems to be chaos. I think it is good for us to remember that out of nothingness, out of chaos, and the chaos of nothingness, our God created all that we have, and not just created it, but made it beautiful. And for me, that is a reminder of these words of hope that we still believe, if we believe that God's word never withers or fades. And those words come from the prophet Jeremiah. For surely I know the plans for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and you come to pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. When you seek me with your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all of the nations and all of the places from which I have driven you out, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to that place from which I sent you into exile. I know sometimes those of us who grew up in a different time, in a different way, this land does seem sort of foreign to us, but we have God's promise that we will not remain in exile or foreign forever. And so keep that as your reminder of hope as we go into this new 2020 year. I want to go ahead and tell you, take, if you will, at some point in the service, get out your pew Bibles and turn to page 164, and you can do that now if you want to. We'll be using a scripture passage from there for the end of the service, and I will announce it again and give you time to find it if we need to, but just thought it's easier to grab them now than later. For those of you who are visiting with us, we are glad to see your faces this morning and pray that the worship experience you have will take you from this place feeling like you have come home. And for those whose faces we see more than a few times, it's even better to have you here this morning worshiping with us also. One quick announcement: following worship today, we will be taking down the sanctuary decorations. I believe that what's here is all that's left of that. And so if you have 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes to spare right after worship, I'm sure many would appreciate that. Evelyn? Okay. If you stay for 10, 15, 20 minutes, you also get a sandwich, a cookie, tea, lemonade, whatever you want. And so please come and join us for a meal and for fellowship. Fellowship, our work becomes fellowship when we're all doing it together. So enjoy that. On our prayer concerns this morning, I want to go ahead and add a couple before we get to those that are on here already. First of all, Janice Bell has gotten into a fight with poison ivy, and she is like me, she's highly allergic to it, and so not only is she just itching, she is swollen, she is miserable, and so in spite of the laughter that she and I have had back and forth, it is serious, and so please pray that the medicine that she is taking will work quickly. And then Evelyn, one of Evelyn's friend's daughters, young 34-year-old, her name is Rachel Robinson, is in liver failure at this point. And so Evelyn and Rachel's mother ask us for prayers for her as she remains intubated and on hospice. The Pappas family, obviously, we keep you in our prayers always, but this week you get an extra set of prayers from us too. We offer prayers for Doyle as he begins his chemotherapy, and we'll be giving you a little more information about that as that gets closer. His first treatment starts this week. And then I have a feeling many of you know this, but some of you may not. When it was time for us to print the bulletin for this week, the information that we had about Lewis is what you see in the bulletin. We have since learned that it's a little more serious than that. He has been diagnosed. He's in Georgia with friends. They were on vacation. He has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. I got a text from Vicki this morning. They're hoping that by this afternoon or first thing tomorrow, they will know what type it is, so they will know how to move forward with treatment for that. She said this morning they are both in good spirits and praying for miracles. And so I pray that all of us particularly keep them in our prayers. And I have to say my resident theologian and caregiver, I think, said it best this morning. And Jacob said, cancer just needs to go away. Just needs to go away. Thank you, Jacob. So this morning as we worship, remember those who are not with us, perhaps because they're traveling, perhaps because they are taking time away, but particularly remember those who can't be with us in worship because of illness, and keep them in your prayers this week. As we began worship this morning, I pray that you have offered the prayer of preparation this morning. If you haven't, at some point, perhaps in a moment of silence, I would invite you to pray that. But as is right and good and faithful for us to do, we start worship with thanksgiving and with praise. And so I invite you to join me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament.
Praise the Lord for His mighty deeds. Praise Him, Lord, for His surpassing grace.
Praise the Lord with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and with harp.
Praise the Lord with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings of my harp.
Praise the Lord with clanging cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals.
Thank you.
Please be seated. As both forgiven and forgiving people, may we go to God asking for mercy and at the same time trusting in God's pardon. Will you pray with me? We believe, as people of faith, that the light has come and that it has erased the darkness. And in that light, you and I can walk and we can work and we can believe that we are loved by God and that we are called into God's service. This, God's love and our service in Christ, this is our sign of the shining news of God's good hope. So thanks be to God in Jesus Christ. You and I are forgiven. Amen.
Please pray with me. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voices but your own, so that we may hear your word and also do it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's Old Testament lesson is found in your pew Bible on page 690. It comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around, they all together. They will come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Because of the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels from Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
We've gone so far to get it.
the New Testament lesson, again, is one so familiar to us, so ingrained in us, that sometimes we think there's nothing new to be heard. And so I invite you with new ears and with the ears of the Spirit to hear something new, something that God is saying to you as we listen to the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we've come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with them, and calling together all of the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least in the rulers among Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men, and he learned from them the exact time when that star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay homage to him." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down before him and paid him homage. And then, opening up their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they, the wise men, left for their own country by another road. The grass withers, the flowers fade, the word of our Lord endures forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Okay, we're going to start with an oldie but a goodie, and if you know the punchline, you just say it right along with me. Here we go. There was a pastor who was traveling from his rural city or rural town into the city after Thanksgiving. He had been given this task of finding a sign that the church could use during their Advent season for publicity. The committee had given him the wording. They had given him the dimensions. Unfortunately, he left those in another pair of pants in the pocket. And so he simply sent an email from his phone asking his wife to forward that information to the company before he arrived. And when he did arrive, the design staff all stood and they cheered because this is the message they received from his wife. Do you remember it? For unto us a child is born 6 feet long and 2 feet wide. The signs of the Christ child all around us today will be packed up following worship. The presents most likely have been opened. Your company is probably gone by now. School has, or it will, start up soon. It feels like Christmas has come to an end. And perhaps the day, yes, it has. But the Christmas story never, ever comes to an end. And there's nothing that reminds us more of that than epiphanies, those awakenings in our mind, our body, our spirit that remind us of what the prophet Isaiah says, the authority of the Lord will grow continually. This first epiphany story, it is full of life-giving, life-changing details. There's the call of the Gentiles, the call to all of the nations. There is the star, the journey of the wise men and the gifts that they bring. There is this dramatic interaction between Herod and the wise men. And thanks be to God, their ultimate rejection of Herod in favor of Christ. These magi have much to teach us about faithful following, even if it does mean going in a different route. Because in so many ways, you and I can step right into this story. You and I can be wise men. You and I can be wise women. Each day we travel our own journeys of faith, and we make decisions that will either bring us closer to God or will draw us further away from that light that we know as Jesus Christ. And there are times when our own star, our own light, shines very brightly. There are times when it shines a little less brightly as we witness to the light of Christ. It was true with the Magi. Those ones who have been called kings, astronomers, wise men, they were men we know from priestly backgrounds. But whatever it is that we want to call them, what they did was follow in faith. And they gave all of the world an open invitation to know Jesus, that one who is light in the darkness, the one who gives hope when we lose sight of hope, or even worse, when we believe hope is gone. Walking in the light of Christ takes on new meaning, I think, when we struggle with dark places in our own lives or in the lives of those that we love or in our world. Like the Magi, God calls us to follow in faith, and he promises us that for all of the paths that we take, we will have Christ as our light. And speaking of light, so many of our teens will tell you that some of the most holy and sacred moments for them come in the silence of stars and candles. I've heard Lily say multiple times that some of the most worshipful moments for her is when she is lying on her pillow on the tennis court at Mo Ranch, her face to the sky, looking at God's remarkable light system that we call stars. And during our Thursday night outdoor vespers at Synod Youth Workshop, we travel in silence across the campus as we head toward our day's end, thanksgiving to God. Most of the time, the stars are out. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, in July, that's not always easy to predict. But just like our Christmas Eve candle lighting, once that light, even the human-made light of candles, once it is passed from one to another to 20 to 50 to 300 youth and adults, it is a holy moment. And it's through something in the natural world, a star that God called those magi to follow. The question for us, even today and every day, is have you been drawn closer to God lately by a star? One perhaps that did come in the form of God's incredibly beautiful creation through a sunrise or a sunset. Have you been touched by the light of that star with music that has washed over and into your soul? Have you been at a place where there is just sheer quietness, serenity, and comfort, and felt the light of Christ on you? What about through Scripture, through art? The light of Christ is in everything and everywhere that we look, if we will but open our eyes and see it. Which asks us another question. Have you been drawn closer to God lately by that star? Someone who has been light for you. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was a friend. It could even be a stranger. Have you encountered someone that made you feel closer to God? It is a holy moment when that happens. And by the same token, to whom have you been a star lately? Have you been Christ's light to anyone? God puts stars in our sky all the time. Sometimes we just have to look up. Sometimes we have to look down. Most times we need to be looking all around us. That's how the journey to Jesus happened for the Magi. Their journey, like ours, was not easy. Not all of Jerusalem was excited about the birth of the new king. And as we remember from last week, Herod headed the top of that list of not excited, and not only not excited, he was just downright threatened. He called in his advisors, the religious leaders of the time. They consulted the sacred writings, and Herod and the Magi and all of those who were within earshot heard that the birth of this king was going to have religious significance. And in Herod's mind, religion and politics and power go hand in hand. And so for him, that spelled competition. Knowing Herod's heart, those wise men could have made a choice to just stop right there and never pursued the star for fear that they would risk the king's wrath. But they didn't. By faith, they moved on. In our own lives, how often does that proverbial star show up? And when it does, what do we do with it? Do we turn back? Do we stand still? Do we move on? As people of faith, how often do decisions about life's path come down to a matter of the heart? Or as we Presbyterians would say, the guiding of the Holy Spirit. There are times in our lives when the star that we are looking at is as close as our head, is as close as our heart, It is the Holy Spirit in us, guiding us to do what we are called to do in spite of what all of the Herods of the world would say. These magi left an earthly king, and they continued their search for the heavenly king. They looked up, and they followed, and they entered that house where Jesus was born. They laid their gifts at his knee, and they worshiped him. The child had been born. God's son had been given. The time had passed, and the magi are still searching for Christ. A lesson for us faithful. We are never, ever to stop searching for Christ. Never. Just a little aside, the Greek word for prostrate literally means to fall down in worship. It's used 12 times in the New Testament, and it's always tied to religious worship. So it's not that it's just some happy birthing day to Jesus, or we're going to sing happy birthday to you every year. Worship is not about a day. It's not about a season. It is about a forever following that forms and reforms and transforms us continually. And that transformation that we call the life of discipleship can be costly. The Magi also remind us of that. Faith asks us to step out and to risk, and sometimes to put ourselves in places where we had rather not be. But what faith always asks of us is that we worship. We bring our gold, we bring our resources, we bring our possessions, we bring our finances, and we bring them as thanksgiving gifts to God, whose continuing purpose is the salvation of all of creation. In Jesus' day, frankincense was used in worship to heighten the senses, and so everyone coming in to worship would have a common experience. So today, you and I, we bring our frankincense. We bring our readiness for worship. We bring our readiness to be committed to scripture and prayer and praise and confession. We come ready and prepared to commune with God through the gifts of bread and cup. And we bring our myrrh, oddly enough, used as a burial ointment. But if you think about it, it makes so much sense. As Jesus laid down his life for the saving of our lives, is it too much to ask that in the waters of baptism, our old lives are buried and our new lives begin in Christ? And where that life takes us is a holy mystery. But it's a mystery that we have been called to embrace. The journey of faith for the Magi took them another route. That change of direction, of transformation, that turnaround may be one of our greatest daily challenges. But believing that Jesus is the light and the bright star, and then actually walking by that light's shining is what we are asked to do. Sometimes it's just downright hard. Showing up for worship is actually easier than worshiping. Think about that. Showing up for worship is actually sometimes easier than worshiping. Before we come into this sanctuary each Sunday, the liturgist and myself and the choir, we pray for this worship service that it will be pleasing to God. We ask that all of those things that distract us, all of those things that take us away from worshiping, be removed in order that we don't just sit, but we feel the presence of the Lord. And that is exactly why each of us needs to show up for worship. Together, we need to offer the gifts of faith so that we encourage one another. Together, we say thank you for those gifts received. Together, we come, we commune, and we share communion. And it gives us the strength that we need in this place of worship to go out into the world every other day. The question that I asked last week is still a good one. Do we need to be going in a different direction? The Magi modeled faith for us. And the Spirit within us is saying, follow your head, your heart, and all of those many stars that God gives us as signs. And if you have any doubt about that direction, remember this. The faithful path will always be one that leads us closer to God and never, ever further away. Long ago, a star was shining in the night, and the Magi followed it, and wise men and wise women have been following it ever since. Where it stops, we find Jesus. Find those holy moments when you look up, when you look down, when you look around, and stop long enough so that you can find Jesus, who has already found you. And may we, all of us, be faithful in our following wherever it is that Christ takes us. Amen.
Instead of gold and frankincense and myrrh, we bring to God the treasures He has first given us, hearts, minds, and bodies. May these and the offerings of our resources be used to tell of God's living light of hope in Jesus Christ. All things have their origin with you, Lord, and from these riches we freely give, that your church might grow in this place and throughout the world. Amen.
The truth is this: God's love in Jesus Christ knows no bounds. We are invited as guests to come just as we are to this feast. Forgiven sinners that we are, ready to be strengthened by this bread and by this cup. So may the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks, O God, for making your love evident since the very beginning of time when you spoke the word which replaced the darkness of chaos with life-giving light, a light which has nurtured generations of people and plants and creatures both great and small, a light which also revealed the fear and the powerlessness caused by corruption and evil actions. So you spoke your word, which would once and for all dispel the darkness of chaotic lives. And through your love for the world, the word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and full of truth. The angels caroled glory to you in the highest heavens and peace to all people on earth. And we join with them and with all people to praise your holy name.
Let us pray. Holy God, as the travelers with their treasures were overwhelmed with joy on finding Jesus, so we also are overwhelmed on finding out the depth of his love for us. For Jesus showed just how beloved we are to him by loving us and giving himself for us. We bless you for Jesus, who through his life, death, and resurrection fully lived the promise of redemptive wholeness offered for all who would be obedient to your creating will. It is with awe and wonder that we proclaim the mystery of our faith.
Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Now, God, send the power of your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of bread and cup, that we may experience the presence of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. And breathe your Spirit in us, that we may be one body with him, living out his ministry in the world today and every day. And Lord, we come before you with our prayers, the prayers we have spoken, the prayers of our hearts. Lord, we come to you this morning mindful that not all the world is at peace, and that, Lord, there are families who are worrying at this moment about what that means for their loved ones, mothers and fathers, of those who serve in our military, sons and daughters whose fathers and mothers are serving. And so, Lord, in this world where there is so much tension, we ask that you come and you pour your spirit of hope and calmness and that willingness to come to the table and to talk. Lord, we especially ask that you be with Dietrich, a young man whose mother on Saturday morning has asked for prayer, not knowing where her son is. And Lord, we ask for those who have experienced violence, for those who sit in the very kinds of congregations that we do this morning, who have come to worship and who find themselves in harm's way. We ask, Lord, that your bright and your abiding light that you have shown us will shine upon them and shine through us upon them so that we can remind them that there is a different, a better, a new way of living that calls us to your kind of peace. You've poured out your light into the world and you've asked us to live in that light rather than to run and hide in those darkness of doubt and despair. You've promised to be our light in all of our journeys that are risky. And it means that we will have to be serious, Lord, about our service to you, about giving you our best and offering hope and light to others, because you gave your best and your all to us in your Son. So in this new year, we bring to you the names and the situations of others for whom life seems to be a stranger. They're struggling with illness. They're struggling with economic hardships, with broken and damaged relationships, with anxiety. And yes, Lord, they're even struggling as they face death's door. And so, Lord, this morning into your hands and into your care, we place Dietrich and Lewis and Doyle and Rachel. And Lord, we ask your continuing watch and healing over Janice. We ask that in this coming week, the Pappas family fills the prayers of this congregation who loves them dearly. And we do this because you have asked us to be light to the world. And so now hear our prayers and hear the prayer that we offer in our Lord's name together, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Even as Jesus faced his own death on that night long ago with his disciples in that upper room, he took the gift of bread and he gave thanksgiving to God for it. He broke it and he said to his disciples, "This is my body given for you. And every time you eat it, remember me." And as they were finishing their supper, he took the fruit of the vine, the wine, he gave thanksgiving, and he poured. And he said to his disciples, "This is a sign of a new covenant. This is my blood shed for you, and it is the promise of forgiveness for all times. And every time you drink it, remember me." And so this day, we take, we eat, we remember, and we go from this place still seeking out and still searching for the Christ who is ahead of us, beneath us, beside us, and in us.
Lord God, we give you thanks.
Now I'm going to ask you to turn to page 164 in your Bibles, in the New Testament. But before we offer God's blessing for us all, hear these words as a charge and as a reminder of just how blessed we are. God with us, Emmanuel, come to us. In this little boy, who could know that we'd find the eternal one born in time? In this little boy, who could know that we'd find mortal and mystery somehow intertwined? In this little boy, who could know that we would find the creator-born redeemer of humankind, and the hand of God reaching out to mine? This baby child is God with us. Amen. And now, Romans chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 13. What I invite you to do is to turn to someone, find a partner. And if you need to find three, then we can do that also. This is a scriptural blessing that I feel is a wonderful way to start the year. And so if you would say that one to the other, just simply take turns and bless one another with God's blessings.